Welcome back to another episode of Our Blue Bahamas Briefs podcast show, where we speak about all things ocean blue. Today we're joined by Allison Longley from Blue Quest. Thank you for being here, Allie.
Thank you so much, Heather. Pleasure to be here, and thank you for the opportunity to tell everyone more about Blue Quest Bahamas.
No problem. So tell us more. So share about some of your professional background and then Blue Quest, what it is and how you got started.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been a PADI master scuba diver trainer, scuba instructor, swimming instructor for over 20 years. So I have been in this career field of marine conservation and marine education for a very long time. I have gotten to travel all over the world, experiencing the beauty of the ocean and teaching others about the importance of our coral reefs. So that's a little bit about myself professionally. I'm also a U.S. Coast Guard captain for both power boats and sailboats. So really, you know, this is what I'm about. This is who I am, what I'm passionate about. And yeah, just really excited to be on this career path because, as you know, they say, if you love what you do, you never work in a day in your life. So it's really true.
Yes, I love that. I love that. And did you grow up near the ocean or did you learn how to swim through a pool?
You know, I wasn't far from the ocean. It was only about an hour drive to the ocean. And my family did take us to the ocean to swim in the summers. I was a pool rat, as they say. You know, my mom, she didn't know how to swim. So she made sure that we all knew how to swim by the age of 3. We were on swim team by the age of 5. I was teaching as a water safety instructor in high school. That was my job, essentially, and a lifeguard instructor as well. Yeah, I have to thank my mom for making me so proficient in the water because of her fear of the water. So yeah, I definitely grew up in and around different bodies of water, whether it be ocean or pool or lakes. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you mentioned that your mom really pushed y'all immediately to learn how to swim. And I encourage every young Bahamian and their parents to look into swimming classes, but that is on a different note. So today, for our audience out there, if you aren't familiar, I am familiar with Allison through her role at Brief. You were previously the education and outreach officer at Brief, correct?
Yes, I was. Yes.
So how did those experiences shape your journey in conservation work?
Yeah, I mean, first let me say I had the privilege of working at Brief for almost 6 years, and I was the Brief Outreach and Communications Officer. And as you know, we wear many different hats at Brief. That's really cool because it just shows the talent of the Brief team, although on the smaller scale, really effective team. So, you know, my duties at Brief allowed me to work closely with students and stakeholders and the community. And at the core of it all, you know, teaching others about conservation is most effective when they understand what the issues and the challenges our coral reefs and our marine environments are facing so we can live more sustainably. So really that foundation of learning why we need to protect and restore coral reefs, the importance of it, and communicating that throughout all channels. So as you know, one of my lead positions was spearheading the summer camps that Brief does every summer. And I know you guys are gearing up for your summer camps throughout the archipelago here. So engaging, you know, participants, the youth, students, the community throughout the archipelago, and then also firsthand seeing our reefs through many different islands, not just Nassau, but the islands around the Bahamas, and getting that firsthand experience of, how our reefs are being affected by our choices on a daily basis, and the degradation of our reefs. So those were some of the things that, highlighted how I moved forward with Blue Quest, curating the eco experiences through my experience at Brief, to make sure that the education foundation was there as well.
I love that. And I love that you touched on really going across the Bahamas and seeing the quality of our reefs. Because I don't think a lot of persons know this, but when you go to different islands of the Bahamas, each reef is completely different. And you're going to see totally different species on one end of the Bahamas versus the next. And so it's important really highlighting what damaged reefs look like, right? And what healthy reefs look like. So it's definitely important that what you were doing with environmental education and really reaching out to students and adults alike to really educate them on our reefs. And so you would have touched a little bit on what exactly inspired you to establish Blue Quest Bahamas, but what exactly is Blue Quest's core mission and how did you get started?
Yeah, so my inspiration for Blue Quest and why I started the company comes from my passion, of the ocean and my background in marine education. And so combining those, working with visitors primarily, and then students and the community about, why coral reefs are important. So integrating that into the eco experiences, the eco snorkel. So it's not just, let's go have a snorkel, have fun and see some fish. It's highlighting the importance of our coral reefs. So collectively, everybody's has a better appreciation when they come out of the water of our marine ecosystems. And that really is the mission of Blue Quest, to educate both visitors and the local community about marine conservation while providing a really unique hands-on eco snorkel experience, which we affectionately call the Reef Rescue Experience.
And so persons are able to go out with you and kind of have a sustainable, more educational snorkel experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Reef Rescue Experience allows participants to dive right in and have a unique experience learning about coral reefs, the importance of them, learning about fish identification, and how coral reefs and the marine species that reside in coral reefs have a symbiotic relationship. They can even get more hands-on and assist by cleaning the nursery. They achieve a Reef Rescue accredited snorkel certificate, which they can, share with their friends about their experience in the Bahamas and how they truly helped out, with coral restoration. So we are in a nutshell, basically, allowing participants to experience coral restoration directly through our eco snorkel experiences.
I love that. And for our viewers at home who may have never seen a coral nursery, what does that module look like? And then I believe you mentioned reef rescue. Could you tell us what a reef rescue certification is and what it entails?
Yeah, so the site itself, the Blue Quest Coral Nursery, is located at Delaport. It is just a few fin kicks away from the beach. Very conducive to snorkeling of all ages, so very inclusive. It's only in 8 to 10, 11 feet of water, depending on the tide, so really shallow water site. Delaport, for those who have been there, is located on the northwest side of the island. It is a public beach park with lots of potential. And we chose that site because of the accessibility. making this choral nursery the first ever public accessible choral nursery from shore. And so at the site, we have two reef balls, which serve as estuaries or nurseries, temporary housing for smaller juvenile fish to hide in so they can gain their adaptations and grow a little bit bigger. Temporary housing because eventually they'll move on to the coral reefs. So that's really cool. At the reef balls too, which are these giant cement structures with, they're like half spheres with holes in them, if you've ever seen a reef ball before. They also have corals of opportunity on them. So they're housing corals as well. So corals of opportunity, we consider corals that we have scooped up from underneath the sand, just basically laying on the sand bottom, that otherwise would have died. We are putting them onto the reef balls to grow big, and they have, they're thriving on those reef balls. So it's really cool. So it's housing fish and coral right now. We also have two tables. They're 5 by 6 foot. They are integrated in the structure of the reef. So they are drilled in the substrate of the reef. They house the microfragments, and we'll talk more about those. And then we have two domes there that currently are housing Elkhorn coral. So that's a little bit about the site in itself, and what you will find at the Blue Quest Coral Nursery.
Awesome, I love that. And so, how many corals did you guys start with?
So at the Blue Quest Coral Nursery, right now on the tables, we have around 150 corals, 150 microfragments.
Wow.
We have about 10 Elkhorn corals on the domes. So far, since last year, we have outplanted close to 200 corals on the nearby reef.
Wow, that's
And we will do the same for the corals that are on the tables at the nursery this time next year. They will be outplanted as well when they are ready to be. So, yeah, that's a little bit about the capacity that we're holding at the moment. The Blue Quest Nursery is in partnership with the Perry Institute for Marine Science. And I believe we have the most diversity of genotypes at the site. Now, Perry Institute could attest for that, but I do believe in all of NASA and the Bahamas in itself, we have the most diversity. So why is that important? Well, what we are encouraging is coral spawning. So eventually in the summer months, these corals will spawn, make baby corals, and those baby corals will go in the column of the water, be carried by currents, and make more coral reefs. So outplanting is great, but it takes a lot of resource and time, hand outplanting corals. What we ultimately want to see is these corals spawning. We have all endangered species at the site, and they're all major hard corals, major reef building hard corals. Some examples of what we have is the groove brain coral, the mountainous star coral, the Elkhorn coral, mustard hill coral, and the greater star coral. So really exciting to see that diversity there at the site.
Yeah, and for our listeners out there, diversity is so important when it comes to our coral reef ecosystems because they are the lifeblood and the heart of our fisheries and our oceans and our beautiful beaches and all of our ecosystem services that we are provided from our oceans. And so you would have mentioned microfragmentation. What is that?
Yeah, so microfragmentation is a process that allows coral to grow up to 10 times faster than nature alone. It's a little bit more complex than other methods used to grow corals, but remember that we are essentially growing corals that can last hundreds of years. And these corals are climate resistant corals. So, about the process of microfragmentation, there's a few steps to go over just to have a better understanding of what we're doing to be able to grow corals. So, the first step is to go and source healthy corals. And these corals that we've sourced, these original colonies that the corals now at the nursery are from devastated areas. So they're the strongest of the corals in an area in Nassau that has seen devastation through climate crisis, I'll say, not even change, climate crisis with the warming oceans. Okay, so we take a hunk from that original colony. Now, no worries, that original colony will continue to thrive. They're not going to be injured from just taking a small piece of it. From there, we take that small piece and we use a precision blade bandsaw with a steady flow of water to cut these corals into tiny, tiny fragments. As we know, corals are animals, they're really sensitive. So throughout this process, we're monitoring water temperature, we're monitoring the color of the coral, monitoring for stress. So after these corals are cut into tiny pieces, they are put onto a zero carbon cement disc and then placed at the nursery. So they're placed on the nursery tables. And eventually, in about a year's time, these microfragments are going to fuse together and grow and outgrow the disc that they're sitting on, and then they will be outplanted onto the reef. Once outplanted onto the reef, that's their forever home. That's when they'll take on another form of life where they'll actually all fuse together and, for example, create their own brain coral structure as we know it, as we see when we go snorkeling. So starting from a tiny fragment into a full head, either, a brain coral or a mountainous star coral or a mustard hill coral. So really cool process and really cool to see the progression throughout the year. Microfragmentation, again, is a tedious process. It takes a lot of resource. We have to go out and clean the nursery every 2 weeks, which is a lot of fun. I don't mind it. I
You
actually
know.
find it quite relaxing. But yes, it is resource heavy, but in the long run, definitely worth it.
I love that. And so if I am listening in and I feel like I have a green thumb and I love the ocean and this is something I want to do, can I just go out in the ocean and pick up corals?
No, you can't, Heather. Well, you can, but not the public. You do have to be certified either as a reef rescue diver to handle corals, or if you are a part of a marine organization that you have been trained to handle corals. So, again, as I would have mentioned, this is in partnership with the Perry Institute for Marine Science. So, this is all science-based innovation methods of growing corals, which all warrant permits to be able to handle the species so that we're doing it responsibly. Okay? So you do need to have that background education and certification to be essentially managing your own nursery. It's a privilege to be doing this at Blue Quest and to be managing the Blue Quest nursery at my time at Brief, just circling back. I gained experience managing the Brief Coral Nursery, which is, of course, located at Clifton Heritage Park, the Brief Sir Nicholas Nuttall Coral Sculpture Garden. You guys have a different method of growing corals and some different corals that are growing, but all the same, you do need to have a certification to be able to do this type of work.
All right. And in the summer times, we know that we face tremendous threats from rising temperatures in the atmosphere, as well as in our oceans, which absorb all of the excess heat from our atmosphere. And we've seen coral bleaching each year. I believe 2024, I can speak for our brief nursery, was probably one of the worst years with coral bleaching. Is this something that you're facing as well, or not as yet?
Actually, luckily enough, no. So, as I said, we had established this nursery last year, and that was partly what we needed to observe was the validity of the project and making sure that these corals were going to survive in this area. And I'm really excited to report that all of our corals have thrived and survived. Again, when we sourced these original colonies where these corals came from, they were in the most devastated areas. So these are truly climate resilient corals. They are the strongest of their genotype. And if you've been to Delaport before, which I know you have, the rocky shore environment, the rocks there, they create energy because the waves hitting the rock bounce back. There's a lot of nutrient flow. So even on a calm day, you can kind of feel that energy happening beneath the water. Because the water movement is constantly flowing, it's also bringing in sand. Now, sand is actually a good thing when we're dealing with the coral nursery because the biggest threat to our corals with these warming ocean waters is the algae growth, the bacterias. And that sand actually covers the algae and kind of chokes it, so to speak. So it's not growing at the site whatsoever. So these corals are literally sitting in sand, the outplants, and they are thriving because they don't have the threat of algae. Now, they are climate resilient corals, but they are not disease resilient corals. So that's one thing that we are constantly monitoring as well. Even the strongest corals, if they are introduced to disease, which we do have stony coral tissue loss disease in the Bahamas and all throughout the southwest side of Nassau, a lot of corals were affected by stony coral tissue loss disease. That is a major threat to coral reefs, coral nurseries, so something that we pay attention to. So, yes.
Wow, that on top of climate change is all these corals are combating, guys. And so when you think about our coral reefs, they're not just sitting around to be pretty. They're actively protecting us from overheating. They're combating disease, predation, all of these different factors. And so that's why it's important that organizations such as BlueQuest are here to restore our reefs and even provide climate resilient corals, which is even more powerful with the future that we see with climate change here in the Bahamas. We're vulnerable, more vulnerable than any other state, really. And so that is great. So moving forward, BlueQuest recently received an award. I believe it was the United Nations Tourism and Sustainable Islands Challenge.
Yes, really exciting to report that
Congratulations, by the
we
way.
did win a United Nations award in the marine and coastal conservation category. So just to give some context, this is the first ever United Nations competition that was partnered with the Ministry of Tourism here in the Bahamas. It was actually 80 applicants, not only in the Bahamas, but the wider Caribbean, so neighboring countries as well. And all five of the finalists were from the Bahamas. So that's really cool in their respective categories. I say this is not only a win for BlueQuest, but it's a win for the Bahamas because it highlights the Bahamas as a leader in innovation in coral restoration. So it really puts us on the world stage. So to have partnership with the United Nations and the Ministry of Tourism in the Bahamas is invaluable. It's a really exciting venture that we have been able to access. And there's going to be so many exciting things happening for BlueQuest following this this partnership. So
Yeah, I'm
just
looking
really
forward to it.
the pinnacle of my career.
I love that. And knowing Allison, she has been at Brief, I can tell that she really has a passion for corals. And I'm happy that you're able to expand and network with all of these organizations and really build something for our environment that you can be proud of and that'll benefit us for generations to come. And so, to that note, as we close and wind down, I want to know what does a future of coral restoration in the Bahamas look like for you? What would you like to see in the coming future?
So, as far as the future of restoration for corals, what I'd like to see is more collaboration, more science-driven initiatives, and just scaling throughout the Bahamas. Getting the community involvement, fishermen on board with more responsible fishing methods and being more responsible with their catch. Beachgoers as well, being more responsible with what we take to the beach, we take with us, okay? We don't leave anything on the beach. We always say, take only memories, okay? Leave only footprints. More protection. So coral restoration is really mitigation after the fact, right? It takes a lot of resource and funding to grow corals. But if we protect the healthy coral reefs that we have here in the Bahamas, and let them thrive and keep the pressure off them, so to speak, that is really where we're going to win as a country. So increasing protection of the healthy coral reefs that we do have here. It's a common misconception that the Bahamas is full of healthy coral reefs. It's beautiful, but really, coral reefs only cover 1% of the world's oceans. So the ocean's quite barren. And everywhere, just offshore, you're not going to go get the privilege of seeing a coral reef. And so when we do experience the beauty of our coral reefs, we want to make sure that we're doing everything to protect it and leaving, so to speak, less of a footprint, while we are appreciating our coral reefs.
I love that. You put that so beautifully, really appreciating our environment and giving back when we can. Oftentimes we go to the beach, we have a party, we have fun, and then we leave our stuff right there on the beach, unfortunately. And that's not how it's supposed to be in the Bahamas. We should protect our sun, sand, and sea, and that includes our coral reefs as well. So, Ali, can you let persons know how they can get in touch with BlueQuest if they want to book a reef rescue snorkel or just get involved or volunteer to assist you with cleaning?
Yeah, absolutely. So BlueQuest offers eco snorkels at Delaport daily. So you can book a tour and go for a snorkel with BlueQuest to gain a better understanding of what we are doing at the site as far as coral restoration goes. You can also volunteer for a day, either guiding or cleaning the nursery if you're scuba certified and want to get your reef rescue diver certification so that you can assist in the operations of maintaining a nursery. And you can follow and share BlueQuest social media. So our social media is at BlueQuest Bahamas. That's on Instagram. So follow our work and share our work is the best way for us to continue our work and communicate what we are doing here in the Bahamas in regards to coral restoration.
All right. Thank you so much once again, Ali. It was a pleasure speaking to you, and I'm always excited for every new opportunity for our coral reefs in the Bahamas. I've had the pleasure of working with you with BlueQuest, and I can personally say that She's definitely making waves, no pun intended. But this is the future of our oceans that we would like to see all across the Bahamas. So thank you once again, Ali. This has been another episode of Our Blue Bahamas. Thank you for joining us and stay tuned for our next episode next week.
Thank you, Heather.